You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to just begin by thanking Brother Sean for this awesome invitation. I truly pray and hope that God's Spirit has a word for us this morning. And I know one of my students told me if I'm still speaking at 10:50, he was going to boo me. So I want to get right into the word so we can see what God has for us. But let us pray. Dearly Father, thank you once again for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for your blood that covers me, Lord. I pray that I would decrease, that you would increase, that they would only see you, Lord. And I pray that your Spirit would lead us into all truth and understanding. And I pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. So if you have your Bibles or your phones, today we're going to be looking at a particular text in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16, beginning in verses 23. A very familiar story about Paul and Silas being thrown in prison. But before I get to those particular verses, I want to give some context. So you have Paul and Brother Silas doing ministry, traveling around from city to city, preaching the good news. And in one particular city, they're being hounded and followed by this woman who seems to have this gift of being able to, she's like a psychic. And she's almost mocking Paul and Silas. And Paul finally gets fed up and cast out the demon in her, and now she no longer has this power. And you would think that that would be something worth rejoicing over. Someone has been delivered, yet she was a moneymaker. There was a man who kind of owned her, who depended upon the finances she brought in from this gift. So now he's upset. You messing with my money. So he begins to complain to the powers that be. We got these two troublemakers who are coming to our city, and they're trying to get our people to do things that's not our custom. Could you do something about this? So Paul and Silas get whipped, beat down, and then they're thrown in the prison. So right then, to me, that just should blow our minds that sometimes when we're being obedient to God, sometimes when we're doing the very thing that God has called us to do, not everyone's going to be pleased with that. Some people are going to be upset with the fact that we're seeing people healed and set free because it's big money to have people in bondage. Paul and Silas sets this young lady free, and then they're in prison for it, and that's where we're going to pick up in verse 23. And it says, and when they had laid many stripes on them, which is a nice way of saying when they got beat down, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them secure. So Paul and Silas was thrown into this prison. The powers that be told the jailer, you got one job. Keep them secure. No matter what else you do today, no matter what you've done before today, your one job is to keep these two secure. The jailer, he's up for the task. It says, having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet with the stocks. He's thinking to himself, this is my big break. I got these two celebrity prisoners. I don't want to mess this up. They gave me one job, keep them secure, so I'm not going to put them in the normal cell. It says he put them into the inner prison. So we're talking about the deepest, most inner part of the prison, the most secure, darkest, most foul part of the prison. That's where he put them at. And if that wasn't secure enough, it says he fastened their feet with stocks. So these wooden stocks and chains, so now they're not going nowhere. So he's feeling good about himself because he had one job, and up until this point, he did that job well. And it says, but at midnight, everyone say, but at midnight. Oh, that sounds like some of y'all said it. I need y'all up top too. I know how y'all be sometimes. I used to sit up top, so I know how I get down. But at midnight, one more time, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of God. Keep in mind, Paul and Silas was out preaching the gospel, doing what they were supposed to do. And because they were out doing what they were supposed to do, they got whipped and they got thrown into the deepest, darkest part of the prison. Now, some of us, when we are obedient for a time, and it seems like we're being punished for that obedience, we have a tendency to stop being obedient. Preaching the gospel got me in trouble. Now that I'm in prison, I'm gonna keep my mouth shut. Paul and Silas, they were consistent. They continued to do the very thing that got them thrown into prison in the first place. That's a model we should all long after. Whenever we are praising God, whenever we are praying, whenever we are seeing people around us get healed and delivered because we're being used by God, one of the worst things we can do whenever we seemingly get punished for that is to stop doing the thing that got us there. Paul and Silas are deep in prison, and instead of acting like their surroundings, they didn't start acting like criminals. They didn't start acting like prisoners. They continue to praise and pray to God. And it says the prisoners were listening to this. This is a strange sound. Normally in prison, all you're hearing is complaining, moaning, groaning. When am I getting out? What have I done? I'm innocent. Yet they hear singing and praising. Sometimes God has us in a certain place, not because of what we need for ourselves, but what we can be used by him to do for others. Sometimes when you're obedient, you find yourself in a dark place that doesn't seem like appropriate for someone who's being obedient, but sometimes God has you in that dark place because there are other people who are in darkness. And it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken. Now, this particular region they were in, earthquakes weren't necessarily that uncommon. So some may debate whether this was a miracle or was it just happenstance. Regardless of whether it was a miracle from God or natural, God can use anything. He often uses miracles, but he often uses everyday natural occurrences to have his will be done. But what is important is said that this earthquake shaked the foundations. Foundations are the things that we build upon. And we all have foundations that shape who we are. And sometimes our foundations are ill laid. Sometimes we built upon the wrong things. Sometimes we built upon our own strength, our own might. We stand upon our own intelligence, our own godliness, and we begin to build up ourselves because we think we got it going on because of us. But every now and then when we find ourselves in a dark place, God has to shake our foundations. He has to say, I'm doing something new. And in order for this new thing to be built, I'm going to break it all the way down. And it says when it shook the foundations, it says that every door were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Here you have people who were in prison for various reasons, two of them being because they were disobedient to God. But God has a way that when we find ourselves in bondage, to shake our foundations in such a way that every chain is loosed and every door is broken. I don't know about you, but just based on statistics, there are some among us this morning who need to have some doors open and some chains loosed. And it said, and the keeper of the prison awoke from his sleep. Here you have the keeper of the prison, the jailer, the one they called earlier saying, we need you to keep them safe and secure. And he's like, I'm good at my job. I'm going to take them to the innermost prison. And I'm going to lock them up securely. And now he's so feeling himself about the job he's done, he thinks he can rest on the job. Some of us think that we have finished the work. We pat ourselves on the back because we had one job, and so far I've done that one job well, I can rest easy. And it's in that moment of resting easy when God causes an earthquake in our lives to shake the foundation, that he says, I need you to stay woke. So he wakes up from his sleep. He immediately sees that the prison doors are open. It says he supposed and assumed that the prisoners had escaped. So he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Earthquake, doors fly open, chains fall off. He wakes up, he sees this, he's like, oh my God, the prisoners are gone. He draws his sword. You think he's about to draw the sword to round up the prisoners? No, he's about to kill himself. Why is that? This is chapter 15. In chapter 12, there's a story about Peter who was in prison. An angel visited him. He was miraculously set free. And the king at that time said, who was in charge of keeping this prisoner secure? Have those men killed. So word gets around that if you are the jailer and you got one job, keep the prisoners secure. Soon as he thought he failed at that job, he figured, why live? This jailer shows up to the same place every day, doing the same thing every day, keeping the prisoners secure. So it would not surprise us that if the foundation that he built on, his identity is tied up into his ability to keep the prisoners secure. And the moment he thought he failed at the thing that he was good at doing, he figured, who am I? I don't know about you, but I know for myself and others in my circle, we've all struggled with that. We've all struggled with having our identity wrapped up not in Christ, not in what God has for us, but we have our identity wrapped up in our ability to do. You're recruited here to do. You're signed here to do. You came and you're admitted here to do. And the one time we fail at doing the thing we were called to do, all of a sudden we have the identity crisis. Who am I if I can't do that one thing? My life is over if I can't do the thing that everyone has come to know me as the person who can do that thing. So he's going to kill himself. But we read, Paul called out with a loud voice saying, do yourself no harm. We are still here. In other words, you have not failed. We're still here. But even if you had failed, guess what? You are more than your ability to do. Your identity is not solely in your ability to get the job done. Let me tell you who your identity is in. And it says, he came in with a light. Once he heard this voice, he called to the guard to bring him a light, and he ran in and he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. I want to paint this picture. Paul and Silas, doing what they're supposed to do, got sent to prison. Now they're in chains. There's an earthquake. The chains are set free. The door is open, but Paul and Silas don't run. Why don't they run? I believe they don't run because they were free going in, and they were free while they were there. That's why they were praising and worshiping. So although they had physical chains on, Paul and Silas were just as free in prison as they were before they got to prison. But we find out the one person in prison who wasn't free was a jailer. Because he was in bondage to this notion that his own worth, his only worth, his only value was in his ability to do his job. So it was ironic that the very ones in chains were freer than the one who didn't have on any chains. But God freed up Paul and Silas, not for their freedom's sake, but they would be used to free up this jailer. And it says he fell at their feet, and he brought them and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Sometimes God has you in prison due to your obedience that someone else may be set free. So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your whole household." So not just the jailer is saved, but everyone in his family is saved. And it says, then they spoke the word of the Lord to him. And that's important. In those times, you can't speak your own words. Theo is up here speaking, but these are not Theo's words. Theo words can move you. They can motivate you, but they can't save you. In those times, when you find someone who's in bondage, the only word that can save and set them free is the word of God, which means you got to be well-versed enough in the word of God to speak the word of God and not your own words. Spoke the word of the Lord to him, and all who were in that house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes. In other words, he's abandoning his job description. Because his one job was to keep them secure. Now he's caring for them. He's washing the very stripes that his masters put on their backs. And it says, immediately he and all his family were baptized. And now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them. So now he's nourishing them. And he rejoiced having believed in God with all his household. Oftentimes we hear about this particular passage, especially me early in my life, I want to resonate with Paul and Silas. I want to believe that I'm the one who's so on fire for God that I am willing to preach the gospel even if it means I get beat down and I get put in prison. But if we're honest with ourselves, more often we're not Paul and Silas. More often we are the jailer. We're the ones who've gotten so accustomed to showing up at a certain place every day doing the exact same thing because it's who we are. I think about when I came to Bethel College in 1994, recruited for basketball. Basketball was my God. I was good at basketball. And then a coach called and said, "We need someone to play basketball." And like the jailer, I stepped up and said, "I'm your man. What do you need me to do?" Daily, 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 dribbling, shooting, whatever it took. But then something happened. I tore my ACL. And if anyone knows about an ACL for basketball, that's kind of like, especially back then, that was a game changer. And like so many, including this jailer, I had an identity crisis. If I'm not Theo, the star basketball player, who am I? And there were times where I said to myself, I want to go to sleep and not wake up. But there was a Paul and a Silas on this campus. One was visiting, his name was Tim Elmore, and one was working here, and you met him a few weeks ago, Courtney Richards. Tim Elmore preached a message that convicted me, and then Courtney Richards became my spiritual father, and he daily said, you thought you came here for basketball. God has shaken your foundations, but let me tell you who you really are. You are more than your ability to shoot, dunk, and dribble. And like this jailer, my testimony is I gave my life to Christ in 94, and my wife can attest that most of my family have been saved from that. So if you're Paul and Silas, if you were one who came to Bethel because you were being obedient, God bless you. Continue doing your thing. But my message this morning is for anyone who says, I am the jailer. I didn't come here because I love the Lord. I didn't come here because Bethel was on my radar for the last decade because my family went there and I just want to go to Bethel and worship God. I came maybe because they got my program. They had the best program, whether it was nursing or ASL. And all I really want to do is get really good at nursing or ASL or just good grades. I just want to do the thing that I do well. Or maybe you're an athlete who had never heard of Bethel. Bethel would not be on your radar, but you said this coach called me and they liked the way I play. And all I want to do is come, go to practice, maybe go to a little class here and there, but just do what I do because my identity is tied up in my ability to run, jump, dunk, swing, whatever it may be. Are you open to the possibility that like this jailer, God has you here for more than what you thought you came here for? Are you open to the possibility that God wants this morning to shake your foundations in a way that every door that you did not think would be open to you would be open this morning? And all your chains would be falling off you this morning, and that the one thing you thought you were here for, you may recognize that, hey, I'm not here solely for that thing, but God wants not only me to be saved, but my whole family to be changed. I'm going to invite my wife up. She's going to sing this song. And while she's singing this song, and I know we just had spiritual emphasis week, so I debated going back and forth. Should I do an altar call? Should I have them stand? What should I do? But I think it's important because I've talked to some of you. Over the last 14 years, I've talked to a lot of students who resonate with this message. That they're here for one reason only, and it's not God in their mind. But God has a way at midnight, in your darkest hour, to shake your foundation. So while she's singing this song, if you would say to yourself, I don't want to just continue to do what I thought I was here for, and I'm not just paying my time and doing my service for 4 years and move on to the thing I really want to do, but if you're open that God wants something in your life, to shake your foundations, and that you be set free, freed up to be who God truly wants you to be, I just invite you to the altar. My wife and I, we're going to take the time to pray for you. And this isn't one of those things where you get up because someone else is getting up, but don't stay in your seat because someone else is staying in their seat either. This is real life business. I think God wants to do a work in us this morning.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu or check us out on the iTunes Store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.